I'm in the dome up on the plane. He sat up on his bunk and reached for the phone, buzzing away on the metal nightstand beside the bunk. Vijay's smiling face filled the tiny screen, brilliant teeth against shining dark skin, big luminous eyes.
"Good day, mate," she said brightly. "This is your 6 a.m. wake-up call."
"Good morning," Jamie said, yawning. "How'd you sleep?" they asked simultaneously, then laughed. As they chatted, Jamie heard coughing and snuffling from one of the other compartments, then water running. "Time to get to work," he told Vijay.
"Me too. Mackenzie came down with a bit of the jitters after you left. He started thinking about the media hitting the dome here. I had to sedate him."
"How's Billy Greycloud doing?" Jamie asked, and wondered why.
"Greycloud? Solid as a rock, that one. Like you, a stoic Navajo."
"No problems with the rest of the staff?"
"Nothing big enough to involve the resident psychologist,"
Vijay replied lightly.
"Okay,"
he said, pulling his legs out from under the twisted blanket and sheet. "Guess I ought to get to work."
"Go in beauty, Jamie."
He blinked with surprise, then smiled. "We'll make a Navajo out of you yet, Vijay." It took 3 hours in the camper, trundling along full out at 30 kilometers an hour to reach the new crater. Jamie drove all the way, while DiNardo sat in the right-hand seat beside him, and Hasdrubal hunched over them both.
"There it is!" DiNardo shouted, excited.
"Christ, it's steaming!" Hasdrubal blurted. DiNardo shot an unhappy scowl at the American's blasphemy as Jamie braked the camper to a halt. All they could see of the impact crater was a raised rim of reddish-gray stones, and a delicate wisp of steam rising from it and dissipating in the thin, clear air. DiNardo felt his pulse thundering in his ears so loudly that he barely heard Jamie mutter, "I'll call back to base, let them know we're here."
"Yeah, yeah," Hasdrubal said impatiently. "Let's get out there and start setting up the instrumentation."
The black biologist hurried back toward the camper's airlock where their nanosuits were stored. Jamie made a swift, perfunctory call to the excursion controller, then pushed out of the driver's seat and also went to the rear of the camper. DiNardo wondered if his legs would hold him erect. He had taken two of his heart pills once they'd bedded down in the dome, after the exertions of the climb up the cliff face and their hike through the bitter black night to the dome. Then he'd set his wristwatch alarm for 2 hours before sunrise so he could say his breviary before either of the other two woke up. Now he felt dull, dense and slow. "I've got to be at my best," he said to himself. "Lord, lend me strength." Jamie felt excited, almost trembling with anticipation as he waited for Hasdrubal to close the seals on his nanosuit and inflate its hood into a helmet. Once the lanky biologist worked his long arms through the shoulder straps of his backpack, Jamie checked his suit and backpack connections, then started pulling on his own suit. Monsignor DiNardo came slowly up the narrow aisle between the folded-up bunks and reached for the third suit. He looked pale to Jamie. His expression, what, Jamie asked himself. Apprehensive? Expectant? Scared?
"Are you all right, Fulvio?" he asked.
DiNardo made a tight smile.
"Yes, I am fine. Excited, of course."
Jamie made a mental note to ask Vijay about DiNardo's medical readouts. But Hasdrubal was already ducking through the airlock's inner hatch, eager as a child at Christmas to get outside and see the new crater. Jamie ushered DiNardo into the airlock once Hasdrubal was outside. Then, finally, he went through himself. The two men were standing on the circular rim, goggling down into the crater. Jamie stepped up to them, noting that some of the rim rocks were blocky, squarish. Then he looked down into the crater itself. It was a lot smaller than the meteor crater in Arizona, barely a couple of football fields across and only about 20, 25 meters deep, almost perfectly round. The rock must have come straight down at nearly 90 degrees, he thought. Steam was coming up from one slope near the bottom, a weak little breath rising upward that disappeared almost immediately on the gentle breeze wafting by. "Heat," Jamie murmured, although the Navajo in him thought the delicate cloud might be the spirits of dead Martians rising to join Father's son at last.
"From the impact," said DiNardo.
Hasdrubal nodded inside his bubble of a helmet.
That rock dumped a hell of a lot of kinetic energy into the ground.
It penetrated to the permafrost layer, Jamie said.
And it has remained hot enough to melt the permafrost even after the overnight cold,
DiNardo agreed.
Let's get the instruments planted, Jamie said. And we'll need to bring back samples for the biologists.
Damn straight, said Hasdrubal fervently.
DiNardo turned sharply toward him.
Do you think there might be organisms down there?
Or their remains, Jamie replied. Either way, the bio people would crucify us if we didn't bring back samples for them to look at.
Damn straight, Hasdrubal repeated.
Yes,
DiNardo agreed, his stubble-jawed head bobbing up and down.
Yes, of course.
Wait a minute, Hasdrubal said. Before we do anything, we ought to give this hole in the ground a name.
A name, yes, said DiNardo.
Or three names, Hasdrubal said, pointing to himself and the two others in turn.
It should be your decision, Jamie, said DiNardo. You are the senior among us.
Jamie knew instantly what he had to do.
Chang, he pronounced. I name this crater for Dr. Chang Laodong.
DiNardo nodded.
Hasdrubal muttered, Rank has its privileges, don't it?
So much of science is physical labor, Jamie said to himself as he lifted a spadeful of dirt from the bottom of the crater and let it slide into one of the biology sample cases. Hasdrubal was a few meters away, worming sensor poles into the ground, unfolding their solar panels, actually singing to himself in a deep baritone as he worked. DiNardo appeared up at the crater's edge. The priest was trudging back and forth, carrying armfuls of sensor poles and sample cases from the camper to the crater rim. He looks tired, Jamie thought as he looked up at DiNardo. For an older guy, he's doing his share of the dog work. He hasn't said much, but he's actually smiling. The sun was almost at the horizon when Jamie closed the last of the six sensor boxes. If you find any microbes in this dirt, he said to Hasdrubal, you're going to have to figure out if they're native to Mars or were carried in on the meteor.
That's a good problem, Hasdrubal said, grunting as he pushed one of the sensor poles into the churned-up slope of the crater. That's the kind of problem a man could rest his career on.
I'll give you a hand, said Jamie, reaching for one of the poles lying at the geologist's feet. He stepped carefully as if trying to avoid treading on the spirits of the dead. We don't have much time left before it gets dark.
Hasdrubal straightened up and said, She's not steaming anymore.
Peering at the thermometer on his wrist pad, Jamie said, Temperature's almost 40 below. It hasn't been above freezing all day.
Well, I'm sweating, Hasdrubal said.
Me too. I guess the suits give us enough thermal protection after all.
Guess so.
Hasdrubal picked up one of the poles and began worming its pointed end into the ground, working it back and forth, back and forth.
We'll smell pretty gunky when we take these suits off tonight.
Jamie started pushing another pole into the ground.
Guess so. The badge of honor for working so hard.
The priest must be taking a break, Hasdrubal said, looking up. Haven't seen him for damn near a half hour. At that instant, Vijay's voice came through Jamie's earphone, taut and anxious.
Jamie, Father DiNardo's readouts have spiked and then dropped into the red. I think he's flatlining.
Tithonia Fossi, Death Stroke. Despite reciting the rosary over and over again as he trudged wearily back and forth from the camper to the lip of the crater, Monsignor DiNardo found no peace, no solace, none of the tranquility that the repeated prayers usually brought him. It was a foolish mistake to put on the nanosuit without putting the vial of pills into one of the suit's capacious thigh pouches, he realized. Now the pills rested in the hip pocket of his coveralls, mere centimeters from his grasp, but he could not reach them, not without opening the suit, which was impossible out here in the open. Excitement about the crater had smothered his usual good sense. Like a schoolboy, he admonished himself. You rushed out here to see the crater without thinking, without planning ahead. You allowed your enthusiasm to overpower your intelligence. A mistake, a serious mistake. The crater isn't going to disappear. You should have been more careful, more thoughtful, before pulling on the nanosuit and rushing out to see it.
He had volunteered to be the donkey, carrying